If you have your Bibles, you can open it up to the book of Matthew. Last week, we started looking at this series of things that block God's blessing in our life. And the biggest thing to understand is that God wants to bless us. God wants to bless you. The problem that we have is we determine or we want to tell God how to bless us. And so we forget what really is the blessings of God. The blessings of God is not just, and I say just because God does bless us in these ways, but it is not defined by money. It's not defined by how much we succeed in the world's view. It's not defined by promotions and always good health. Those are blessings, but those are not the main focus of the blessings of God. The blessings of God are fruitfulness in our life. God wants you to be spiritually fruitful. And when we become to grow spiritual fruit in our life, we find ourselves blessed. That it is in the spiritual fruitfulness that there is blessing that cannot be lost. See, money can be lost. How the world looks at us, that can be lost. Health can be lost. All of those things are fleeting. They're good to have, and God does give them. But the thing that God wants to give us is fruit that can never be lost. And the fruitfulness that God is looking to grow in us is, first of all, our character. He's looking to grow the fruit of the Spirit within us, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness. You see, when we begin to become those type of people, we find ourselves blessed. When you begin to let the Holy Spirit transform your heart, that you begin to see the world through eyes of love, you know what? It doesn't seem that anything can hurt you then. No matter whether you go through valleys or trials or storms, if God's peace is in your heart, you know what? You're blessed. And so we need to begin to understand that that's what God wants for us. He wants us to find that inner blessing of fruitfulness. And not only the fruitfulness of our character, but the fruitfulness of our purpose. You see, when we understand that, you know what, we are special and we have a purpose that God has just for you. And when you begin to find purpose and know that you are making a difference for the Lord, you know what, if I don't have money, but I'm making a difference for the Lord, I'm happy, I'm blessed. Because there is meaning in that. And so God wants you to be fruitful and begin to be the person that develops the purpose for which He's called you. And that comes out of fruitfulness. That begins to show itself when you have experienced the fruitfulness of God. And then the third thing that is, we are blessed when we are fruitful in other people's life. God has called us to feed into others. When we begin to find the joy of loving others more than the joy of receiving for us, you are way more blessed. We know that Jesus said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. There's just something about it, and the world doesn't understand that when we begin to serve others, when we begin to lay down our life for others, even our enemies, you're going to find a blessing that the world can't understand. And so there is a fruitfulness in what we put into others, what we speak into others' life, even if it's our enemies. You know what? The person who learns to love his enemy is the person who finds a happiness that cannot be taken away, because God gives you that. God begins to give you a fruit within your heart that is everlasting. But there are some things that block those fruitful things in our life that keep us from being fruitful. And so that's what we're looking at. We're not looking at things that block us from getting more money. We're not looking at things that block us from, you know, that some preach that if you just have faith enough, you can receive these things. That's not the blockage that we're talking about. There are things that block us from being fruitful within who we are, that is way more important. And so we've been looking at this parable, which is a core parable. It's a core foundation of the teaching of Jesus, and it's found in Matthew chapter 13. And you can join me there in your Bibles. It's not going to be on the screen, so you can join me, and we're going to look at this starting in verse 1. It says this, "The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying this one example. A sower went out to sow, and he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell upon the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, but since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, since they had no root. They withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seed fell on the good soil, and it produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given, for to the one who has, much will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Let's skip down to verse 16. Says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but they didn't get to hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. This is what it means. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That is what it is meant to be sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, and he indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another case 60, and in another 30. So we see this parable that Jesus talks about, this desire that we would be that good soil that would bear fruit. That blessed is the ones who hear the word of God and embrace the word of God and understand the word of God, and it produces fruit in their life. And so we talked about that it is the spiritual fruitfulness that God wants us to find blessing in. He wants us to be that good soil that the word of God can come in and make a difference in your life and begin to bear fruit. It begins to change you. And when we do that, we need to understand that that fruitfulness and the blessing comes from the word of God. He talks about it as seed, and he says that it is what brings the good soil is the word of God. So we need to understand that the blessing of God in your life does not come from money. It does not come from healing. It does not come from the answer to prayer. It comes from the word of God. It is when the word of God begins to be something that we love. When we love the word of God and we learn from it, we get to know God. We grow in that relationship because we get into the word, and the word begins to build us up, and the word begins to be our foundation. It encourages us. It is what brings fruit in our life. So we need to understand that it is the word of God that makes the difference. We see that Jesus showed us in this parable, though, that there were three things that block the Word of God from doing its work in our life. There are three different things that keep the Word from growing. Because we all have heard the Word, and yet many of us are still not fruitful. So why do we not experience that character? Why do we not experience the feeling of contentment and fulfillment that we should have from following Jesus? Last week we looked at the first one, and the first thing that blocks us is the hardness of our heart. We begin to be people that are like the hard path, that the Word of God comes, but we hear it and we know it, but we don't begin to make it part of us. He uses the word, he says, we don't understand, and that word understand means we don't put it together. We might understand it in our head, but we don't apply it, and so we don't bring it together with who we are. And we said if we are going to get past this blockage, then we've got to break up our heart. We've got to plow it up. The problem with the path is that it hasn't been plowed up. And so the seed can't grow. The Word of God can't make a difference in your heart if you are hard. And we said that the four areas that we need to break up that keep the Word of God from working in our heart is, first of all, our will. If you want to control your life, it's the fact that you don't want to give up control, that the Word of God can never change you. Because if you want to just, I'll believe in God, but I'm going to do it my way, the Word of God will never grow in your heart. We've got to give up our control. And that's a hard thing. It's something that needs to be broken in us. The second thing is our pride. Some of us think that I'm good enough, and I believe in Jesus, and I don't need to change, and I'm doing good. Well, that's pride. You got to break that up. We need to begin to see ourselves that, you know what? I am no good. I am a sinner. I need the Word of God. We need to begin to break up our pride, and especially men, we get like that you know what? I will work harder. It's not about working harder. It's not about who you are. It's about breaking your pride. It's about surrendering to Christ, and when you break up that hardness, the seed is able to work. We talked about our self-centeredness. We've got to break ourselves from only worrying about us. It's all about what can I get from you, God. Well, the Word of God is not about what you can get. The Word of God is about what can you give to God. What can you do to just come into relationship with God? We need to break that view about me. See, it's not about you getting. It's not about what God can do for you. It's the fact that, God, you deserve my love. You deserve my attention. And when you begin to break that, the Word of God begins to make a difference in us. And the final thing is our comfort. We get so built and hardened in our comfort that we don't let God, and the Word of God is going to be uncomfortable. We need to understand that. Many of us don't let the Word of God sink into our heart because we don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to be inconvenienced. I want to love God. See, we all want to love God, but we don't want to break that comfort zone. And if the Word of God is going to make a difference, you've got to break up this desire to just be comfortable. We've got to move forward. So that was the first thing, that hard path, that it needs to be broken up. The second thing that Jesus talked about was the stony ground. We're going to look at that today. That many of us, we are not experiencing the fruitfulness of God because, you know what, there are stones in our ground, in the heart. You know, we've been plowed up. We receive the Word of God. We love God. And it says that we receive the Word with joy because we want this. And we've recognized ourselves, our need. But you know what? It's kind of like someone, you know how someone that if you have a scar or a hurt place, you know what? You want to get involved, but as soon as someone touches that one area, oh, you pull back. And so we want God, but as soon as God touches some certain areas of our life, there's things that cause us to pull back. And so we never go deep with God. And see, that's the stony ground. It's the person that, you know what? We love God, and we sometimes even read the Word, because it says it receives the Word, and it wants, but we never get deep. because there's something that happens at certain times and in certain places of our life that we just never can surrender everything. And so we're shallow with God. And today, I want us to look at that unlike the hard path, we don't need to break it up because our heart has already been broken, man. We love God. But we are struggling with some stuff in our heart that keeps God from going deep. And instead of breaking those up, what we need to do is we need to dig it up. Some of us, we need to dig into our life some very hard places that we need to dig out and we need to get rid of. I know you're broken up. This is not to condemn anyone. In fact, we all have areas. And again, this is all of us. We all have stones somewhere in our heart. That today, I want to encourage you. Today is the day to do the hard work. And this is not comfortable. It is painful. But we need to dig out some stones in our life because God wants you to be more fruitful than you've ever been before. And some of us, we're fruitful a little bit. Because you know what? The stony ground, it does bear fruit a little bit. But when things happen, it says the sun scorches it. And as soon as we face tribulation or hard times or something happens in our life, you know what? We get mad at God. And we pull back. And everything that we had done is gone. And it's so easy. And it seems like it's a roller coaster. We're real good for God, but then we're terrible. And things are going good, but then we keep falling back. You know what? God wants you to get off that roller coaster ride and begin to enjoy what God has for us. And to do that, we've got to dig out some stones. So what are the stones in our life? What does he mean by the stones in our life? Real quick, we're going to look at these whichever one, they kind of fall into three categories. The first thing is there are ingrained barriers that we need to dig out. Some of us, there's just some things that we've grown into a routine that we need to, it keeps us from going deep with God because, you know what, it's just become ingrained within us and it's hard to break free. And there's all different kinds of things. Some of us, we are ingrained with our view of God. Some of us, we've just grown up, and so how we view God is that he is a taskmaster and he's always looking to punish us, and so we are ingrained with this idea that I need to just work harder. Well, you know what? That's keeping you from going deep with God because you need to. That's not who God is. So maybe it's maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe you've been raised in a sense that as long as you love God, you know, everything's okay. But that is blocking you because you know what? God does expect commitment. There is dedication that it takes, and because we have thought that you know all I need to do is believe and have faith. That everything's okay. Well, there's more than just faith. And because we've had this ingrained belief, we never go deep because we never make a commitment. And we never get truly all that God wants for us because, you know, we're barely with him for a short time and then we're gone. Well, you're never going to go deep with that. So there's some ingrained things. Some of us, it's kind of a religious nature. This is how church is. This is how God is. And we just put God in a box. We begin to look at God, this is how you are. And God, that becomes a rock because we don't let God be more than that. We only limit him to certain areas of our life. And that is a stone that is keeping us from really receiving the blessing of God. And so we need to dig these ingrained things out of our life. And that's hard because, you know, it's what we're used to. And it's who we are. And many times we don't even see those things because, you know, we're just so used to it that we don't even know that it's there. We've got to dig those things out. The second thing is sometimes it's not ingrained barriers, but some of us, it's lingering sin. Some of us, what keeps us from going deep with God is that we really want God, but there are certain sins that we just can't let go of. You know, we love God, and maybe it even hurts our heart, and we know they're there, but as soon as God begins to convict us in that area, oh, we pull back, and then we leave church. Some of us, we only come to church once in a while because we just don't want God to get too close to those areas that are our own little areas, and they hurt because we can't let go of them. Some of us have lingering sin their sins. And it may not necessarily be a huge sin. It's not like you're a thief or a murderer that you don't want anyone to find out. There's maybe little things. There's thought life. Maybe there's criticalness. There's judgment. You know, and you kind of like that how you look at other people. And there's anger. Maybe there's anger that you're just holding on to. And you know that's a sin. And yet, we can't let go of it. And it becomes a stone in our life that is blocking the deepness that God wants to do in your life. You know, there are things that are sin that we need to let go of. The third thing, and the last thing, and it's probably the hardest. You've noticed we're getting harder and harder, is hurts. Some of us, there are hurts in our life that, you know what, even coming to God is hard because it hurts so much, and we don't want to get rid of it. How many know we get used to carrying our hurts? We get used to carrying those things that we even have self-pity parties over, but that's become part of us. And so we never go deep with God because to go deep means I'm going to have to deal with that hurt, and I don't want to deal with it. Sometimes we just don't want to think about it, and so we never go deep with God. We don't get into the Word because I don't want to even deal with it. And God is saying, I know that's hard, but if you don't deal with it, it's like a cancer that you just try and ignore, but it's going to spread. And even though you hold on to it, it's going to destroy your life. It's going to destroy your relationship with God. You think that I can be good with God and hold on to those things, and you can't. Eventually, something's going to happen. The sun's going to come out. Something's going to happen in your life, and you're going to be destroyed. And everything that you did for God is going to go away. Some of those hurts is unforgiveness or bitterness. And God is saying, I am not condemning you, but you've got to dig this out. And we've got to take care of it. It may be painful at first, but the healing will be so much better. It will be worth it. And so these are the things that we need to dig out in our life. We all have something in here. Whether it is ingrained things, because some of us, we've been Christians for life, and you know what? We've got some things that we have just gotten into a bad rut. We need to dig that out. Some of us, all of us, we have some kind of sin that we need to begin to confess and get rid of, even though we're afraid to let go of it. Because you know what? Let's be honest. We like it. And we think, well, you know, it's not too bad. I've asked God to forgive me, and I'm believing that God will really forgive. And that's not the point. You may be saved, and you may be going to heaven, but the point is not salvation. The point is you're not being fruitful the way God wants you to be. And so we've got to let go of the fear. And then some of us have hurts. And we need to begin to deal with these hurts. The more you ignore it, not only do you hurt yourself, but you begin to hurt others. And God wants you to enjoy life abundantly. So here's the question. How do we dig these stones out? How do we let the Word of God begin to penetrate us? The first thing is we need to come to a point of humble acknowledgement. This is the first thing. You cannot dig a stone out if you don't even acknowledge that it's there. Many of us, we refuse to know, to even admit that it's there. I'm not stuck in my ways. I'm not religious. And in our mind, we truly believe that. Guys, if we're going to be truly, if you want to be blessed, here's the first thing that blocks the blessing of God. You refusing to let God show you what your need is. We have a need in our life. We have stones in our life. And until you acknowledge that, God cannot clear out your heart so that you can be blessed. See, God's not looking to condemn you. That's how we think, oh God, you're just trying to point out the stones in my life. No, He wants you to begin to let the Word of God go deep and bring blessing in your life. But you have to admit it. See, here's an example of someone who desired that, and that's David. We know David had lots of stones in his life. He was not a perfect person, and yet he was a man after God's heart. You know why he was a man after God's heart? That even though he was imperfect, he was desirous for God to keep plowing his heart. God, keep digging in my heart. As soon as God got rid of one stone, you know what? There was another stone. But he was willing to say, God, show me where the stones are in my life. Here's a great from Psalms 139. This is what David said. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any grievous way. Another translation says, see if there's anything wicked in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Are you willing to say, God, show me where my stones are? Even if that makes me feel uncomfortable. Are you willing for God to show you where your hurts are? Are you willing for God to kind of discipline you a little bit and say, you know what, you need to let go of this hurt. You have been bitter over this. I'm not bitter. Are you willing to admit and come to a place of acknowledgement? There's sin. There's something that I've grown into. Or maybe I am being religious. Maybe I have put God in a box. Are you willing to let God show you your need? That's the hardest part, but it's the first step. It's the biggest step. Are you willing to acknowledge those needs in your life? Are you willing to let God show you? You need to deal with this. You need to dig it out. And you need to let me throw it away. I want us to stand up and we're just going to take a moment. And I want you to let the Holy Spirit begin to speak in your heart. Are you willing, even right this moment, are you willing to say, God, show me? Are you willing now to humble yourself? And notice I put there humble acknowledgement. It's not just acknowledging it, but you need to humble yourself. It's not just, here's how we acknowledge it. Yeah, it's there, so what? Okay, I'll deal with it. No. When you say, God, forgive me, show me, and let me humble myself and admit that I need work. You see, it's when you humble yourself. It's when you break before God and say, God, I've been trying to carry this stone because I thought I could take care of it myself. And God finally needs to say, you need to stop trying to hide the stone and to let me take it away. We need to humbly acknowledge those needs in our life, those stones that are there, if we truly desire the blessing of God. But the second thing is, you know, it's not just acknowledging it, because a lot of us have come to this point. How many know a lot of us have spent times in the altar and we have acknowledged those areas and it has brought us to times of weeping, but weeping and acknowledgement is not the same as healing and transformation. The second thing that we need to do is we need to begin to walk in a sincere faith in Jesus. In other words, when God has shown us those areas, then we need to begin to take those areas and begin to believe that Jesus can take care of it. We need to begin to take that stone and say, God, by faith, I'm going to give it to you. By faith, a sincere faith, not just we go through the motions, but I mean a sincere faith that I believe that, God, you're the only reason. Many times what our faith is I'm going to have faith in God, but then I'm going to try and do it myself. I'm going to go get up from the altar, and I just keep going and trying to work it myself. And working it yourself will only make the stone go deeper and deeper in your heart. We need to begin to, by sincere faith in Jesus, say, Jesus, you alone can take care of this. And I'm going to give it up to you. This is what it says in Isaiah. And in just a second, we're going to celebrate what Jesus did. In Isaiah 53, and many of us have read this so many times, but we need to truly understand what it's saying. It says that Jesus, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. You see, we need to come to that point of faith that we truly believe that Jesus took it all. You see, we say that so easily with our minds, Yes, I believe that Jesus died, but we don't give him the very thing that he died for. It says that he bore our sorrows. So why are we still carrying them? Because we don't truly have faith. We need to begin to believe that Jesus did what he said he did and begin to let go and let him do it. You've got to come to that place that you put it under the blood. That when that hurt comes, you look to the cross. You immediately, when those doubts come, when the fear comes, you look to the cross. Because I'm not saying that you're never going to feel those ways again, but the point is that immediately we turn it over. God, I'm feeling that way. I'm dealing with this hurt. And you begin to look to the cross because he was bruised for our iniquities. He was crushed for our infirmities. And by his stripes we are healed. The problem is many times we don't want to be healed. We say we do, but by action, we don't allow him to do it. You might say, well, that would be crazy. Well, it is crazy. We are crazy people. But guys, sometimes we're afraid to be healed because we're afraid what other people will think. Or we're afraid what we will be like when I let go of that because that's kind of who we are. But that's where sincere faith in Jesus, do you trust that God wants you to experience wholeness? But you've got to let go of it. You've got to move into faith. It says this in Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, in other words, other people that have already gone through the same thing and they've let it go, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily clings to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. You need to look to Jesus. We need to be people that look to Jesus because he was crushed for us. It was joy for him. So in other words, he joyfully took the cross, and yet if we hold on to it himself, then the cross is for nothing. We need to begin to let him have our ruts. Let him have our sin. Let him have our hurts. This is the greatest story. I love this story. In Mark chapter 5, this is an example of this. And this is what we've got to develop in our heart. It says, when Jesus had crossed the boat again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him. And a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus came up to him and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on him so that she would be made well. And so he went with him. And as they went, a great crowd followed them and thronged about him. But there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much from the hands of physicians, and she had spent all that she had, and she was not better, but she was worse. She had heard the reports of Jesus, and believing, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she thought in her mind, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately stopped and said, who touched me? And the disciples said, you're crazy. Don't you see everyone pressing around you? And you say, who touched you? And he looked around and he saw who had done it. The woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. What was the sincere faith in Jesus that she had? You know what it was? It was not her belief. It was not believing that Jesus was the answer. The faith was that she pushed through the obstacles. She was so tired of this stone that she was willing to push through and keep pushing through to let it go. See, we believe in Jesus, but we are not willing to push through. We want Jesus to just take it away from us. Well, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes there's a crowd that we've got to push through. There's things in life. There's a journey of life that, you know what? God is looking for you to push through and persevere before we receive that. But do you have enough faith to keep pushing? To believe enough that Jesus is my answer? We've got to want Jesus. See, the problem is we don't want Jesus enough. We don't like the stone, but carrying the stone seems like an easier thing than pushing through to Jesus. And then we just kind of get used to the stone. Guys, not only do we need to acknowledge that that hurt is there, but we got to want Jesus more than the hurt. Some of you have settled for the hurt. You've settled for the problem. And we need to understand that he was crushed for that. He was bruised for that. He bled for that, that we could have victory. And through Jesus, you can have freedom. Jesus is the only one that has the power to set you free from the fear, from the anger, from the hate, from the bigotry, from the criticism. You know what? Some of you are weary and tired because I'm being judgmental and critical is just tiring. And God wants you to let it go. God just wants you to let it go. But you got to come to him. That's what he died for, so that we could have freedom and life and get the stones out of our life so that we can be fruitful. I'm going to have them come on up again. I'm going to have our men come, and we're going to celebrate the answer to your stones, and that is the cross. The reason we celebrate communion is that Jesus said you need to be reminded of what he did for you. That it is in his sacrifice that we can be freed of those stones in our life. Let's stand up as they pass out the communion. And I want you to begin to open your heart and say, God, make me willing to come to the cross. I want to touch the hem of your garment. There is one more point. It is an awesome thing to come to faith in Jesus. And sometimes the joy in that, the release, and just the freedom is so great. But here's the thing. When we get rid of those stones, there's other stones that come back. And sometimes it's like, but God, I just got rid of it. What am I dealing with now? Because the final step is this. It's coming. There needs to be a commitment to worship. When God begins to move in our heart, we need to make a commitment to worship. Now, what is worship? Worship is not the singing of songs, and many times we call that worship. But what God calls worship is what the farmers called cultivation. You need to continue to cultivate that ground. You dig a rock out, you still got to look for others. It's an ongoing commitment to keep caring for that ground. Because when God heals you, in fact, Jesus told this story. He says there was a man who came and got completely healed, and God drove out the demons, and his inside was swept clean. But then some other demon came and filled him with more than what was there before. Why? Because he did not continue to keep that heart clean and fill it with other things. In fact, this is what it says in Romans chapter 12. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, because of what Jesus has done, because of this communion that you have acknowledged that Jesus has set you free, that the power of God is there. Therefore, because of that, I urge you, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Two words. Living, that means you continue to live as a sacrifice. That means every day your life is now no longer yours. Because of what he did, God, I'm going to give myself to you every day. I'm going to live for you. A sacrifice means that I die to myself, but I live for you. So present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Look at what this says, which is your spiritual worship. That's what worship is. Worship is a disciplined, hard-working life that is not fun and it's not always easy, but I'm going to push through it. Worship is saying, Jesus, you're worth more than this crowd. See, the woman worshiped Jesus before she ever got healed. The worship was the pushing through. It was the step, every step she took was a worship because God is more important than this life. The thing that we need to do is we need to commit ourselves to a life of worship. In other words, every day when you make a decision, you step closer to God rather than stepping closer to your stones. Every day you step away from your stones and closer to God, that is worship. And you've got to commit yourself to that. Will you commit yourself to a deeper walk with God? See, otherwise you're still shallow. If you just stay shallow, then you're going to be in the same place, unfruitful, with no purpose. But God says if you will commit to a life of worship, then you will find fruitfulness. There will be a joy in your heart because finally the Word of God will begin to go deeper. So I want to encourage you. Are you willing to not just come to the cross? That's great. But you see, a lot of people walk out and they think that that was it, and you never go deeper. If you don't go deeper, if you don't commit yourself, see, this is one thing in this world, we have lost the commitment to follow Christ. Following Christ is not in your head. Following Christ is in a lifestyle that you choose to live for Him. That's what's going to keep the stones out of your life. Otherwise, stones are just going to come back. How many know that the enemy comes and drops stones in your field because they don't want you to go deeper? So you dig one out. If you're not committed to following Christ, another one's going to find its way there. So you've got to commit yourself to offer your bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable worship. It's your spiritual worship because He is worth it. He has deserved your worship. I close with this. We read this last week. This is the desire that God has. In Isaiah chapter 55, it says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Listen to this. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that He may have compassion on him. Are you willing to forsake that lifestyle? That means you got to start living a new life. You got to change some things in your life so that God may have compassion on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I purpose, and it will succeed in the thing which I sent it. In other words, God says, if you will forsake your old life and you will commit to living for God, the Word of God will accomplish the same thing that the rain accomplishes. It will start to grow new things in your heart. The Word of God will make a difference. And then look what will happen. It says, for then you will go out in joy, and you will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you will break forth in singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Now that's a description of a joyful life. When all of creation even joins with you in the joy of the Lord, and many of us were not experiencing that. You know, we look around, our life is struggle. But it says then let's dedicate ourselves to a life of worship. Let's begin to forsake our old ways, get rid of the stones in our life so that we can go forth in joy and the Word of God will begin to grow within us fruit and a new purpose and a new life. God promises it. God says he will do it.